1 Peter chapter 2. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Jesus, you're here. We submit to your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, and work among your people. We pray by the power of your word, even now. Amen. Friends, let me begin by recognizing that so many of you have given so much in the past year and a half. So much time, so much energy, your dreams, your service, your love. Nothing that you have given has been lost or wasted. In no way have you failed. God's economy is not like ours. Success in his kingdom is not measured in the same terms that we measure success. We ask how long, how much, and how many. But there's only one question in God's kingdom. Did you answer the Lord's call? Did you follow when he asked you to come? Faithfulness is the only measure of success in the kingdom of God. If you look at Christ's own ministry, it would have looked like a failure to those outside looking in. There were sick people in Israel when Christ died. Many who did not believe, many who refused to understand. But Jesus explained his own ministry in terms of this. "I have done everything the Father has called me to do. Whatever the Father says, I do. Nothing more and nothing less. And in this was enough to save the world." Nothing that you have given has been lost or will be lost. God will see to that. In a season when all of our lives are already upside down, I know that Ryan's departure was unexpected and jarring. Feelings of sadness, disappointment, hurt, anger are natural. May Jesus fulfill his promise from the Beatitudes that blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Though that takes time. And I do pray, even now, Lord Jesus, your spirit would fall on this people. That you would be the salve to their wounds, to their hurts, and the answer to their questions. Be near to them, Jesus. We pray. Friends, church is a lot like family. In fact, it is family. It is the family of God, the reconstituted family of God around God the Father. And the thing about families is the people and places we care the most about are always the ones who have the most potential to wound us. But the gospel proclaims again and again that love is worth it. God thinks so, and we see that every time we look at the cross. I'm not going to speak for long. You have a family meeting and work to do. I'm not here to fix the way that you feel or to tell you what to do next. I just want to proclaim a piece of truth from Scripture over you, and it's truth that you already know. When life gets confusing or when big decisions need to be made, there are two things that we have to be clear about, two things that we must stand on. Those things are who God is and who we are, particularly in relationship to Him. Wisdom in every other decision, in every other matter, flows from those two things. Who is God? Who are we? In the passage I've chosen that I've already read, I will read again. It's chosen for obvious reasons. There are several passages about cornerstones in Scripture. This one stands out to me. Read it once again. I would like to read it. A kind of identity passage for this people. Hear who you are and who your God is. As you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands, today it still stands in Scripture. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. Will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Friends, a lot of things change, a lot of things have changed. But Jesus remains the cornerstone of His church. He is with you as He always has been with you. Through every step, through the imagining of this body up until this moment. And you, friends, you are the living stones, the royal nation, the holy priesthood among whom Jesus lives, who trusting in Him will never be put to shame. That's who you were a year ago, and it's who you are today. Your mission remains the same. You are the ones called to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. But the way that you're going to go about that mission and serve this God are changing. They already have, and they will continue to. How they will change is a matter of discernment. That's why we're here tonight. But there's good news. The church is equipped to do the work of discernment. You have been given the Holy Scriptures, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and each other. The Bible gives us lots of specific information and lots of clear answers to hard questions. But there are lots of questions that it doesn't answer for us. Lots of very specific questions that it doesn't answer. But it equips us as the people of God, with supernatural wisdom to address those challenges when they come. That's always been the work of the church, to come together as the family of God and the Spirit of God to discern what does faithfulness look like? How do we say yes to God? Friends, you have been and are a daughter church. Out of that, some of you, no doubt, will feel a call to return to the Mother Church, to St. Andrew's. Those that do know that you will be welcomed and supported. You've been changed by this season and your investment here. And I'm confident that God will continue to use the things that you have seen and done, wherever He takes you. Others may discern a call to continue the work of establishing an independent, distinct daughter church. Obviously, this will require some stepping back. But if that call is still clear in your hearts from the Lord, then of course it remains possible. And the leadership of St. Andrew's stands ready to discern with you what that might look like. Or perhaps there's something in between, something else. We stand ready to discern with you what that might look like. I know that you've already been thinking and praying about this a lot in the last 2 weeks. No doubt many of you have already determined exactly where you stand on these questions. But before we turn to that family conversation to find either closure or a new mandate, I want to help frame the conversation for you by leading you through a few questions. And these aren't rhetorical questions. I'm going to ask the question, and I'm going to leave silence for you to sit with God and to listen to what he has to say to you on these points. I want to give you some time to reflect. As you reflect, again, I point to this 1 Peter passage, chapter 2. If you want to turn to it, if you want to find that and have it in front of you, I think that would be wise as something to look at and reference. But I offer one other passage, Psalm 139, 23, just a single verse. This is our work. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So Jesus, cornerstone, finds itself at a turning point, at a place of decision and discernment. We recognize that you are with us in this space. We have your word. We have your spirit. We have your presence. We are your people. Your word tells us so. So in this time, Lord, overthrow the enemy and all his lies, any work that he would want to do among us, in our hearts. Destroy what he would do and throw it away. Instead, Jesus, may the truth of who you are and who we are, who this congregation is, be crystal clear in every heart. Show us our hearts also, that we may walk faithfully in your way. We pray it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So I ask you, as you reflect, keeping in mind who your Lord is and who you are, what brought you to Cornerstone? How did you get here? You might want to take notes. I don't know. You might want to write something down as you consider the question. What brought you here? Whatever the call was, whatever brought you here, is that call still at work? Is it still present? My second question, and I'll give you more time for this one. I think it takes more time to reflect on. One of the truths of Scripture is that God is the initiator. He is the one moving. He is the one changing the world. He's the one saving the world. He initiates, and we respond. So the question is always not just, what do I want to do? But what is God doing? How is he at work? And how is he inviting me to participate in what he's doing? How is he inviting me to join him? How can I be a part of what God is up to? So the question, in this last year and a half, how have you seen God at work? Where have you seen him at work? In you? Through you? Around you? Consider it. What kind of next steps are in continuity with what you've seen God doing? As we make decisions, we want to know what God is up to. We need to know what God is up to, but we also need to understand our own hearts in keeping with Psalm 139. And so my last question, and it is the longest, I think probably the one that takes the most time to work through, is, what do you want to do? But not just what do you want to do, it's why. I think we're very good at using our intellect to make our desires seem like the right thing to do. And sometimes, depending on how we're wired, whatever we don't want always seems like the right thing to do. The hard thing is always the right thing to do. But you can build orphanages and hospitals out of anger and malice and pride, right? Motive is critical in understanding what's the next step, what faithfulness looks like. Sometimes what looks right on the outside covers up motives. So the question is that I'm inviting you to ask God to help you to understand, as you consider what you're thinking about, what you hope for, what your desires are going forward, is what are your motives? When you look there, what do you want to do? But not just what, but why? What do you find? Do you find fear? Do you find shame? Do you find anger? Do you find a need to control? Do you find faith? Do you find hope? Do you find love? Do you find some clear yes to an invitation from God, an act of obedience? I really want you to keep thinking about that, but I want to just add to this that whenever we do this work of uncovering our motives, of searching our heart as God commands, it's almost inevitable that we'll find a mixed bag. If we're honest, if we're really honest with ourselves, we almost always have some good and some broken motives next to each other, right? But part of moving forward faithfully is bringing those things out into the open and being honest with ourselves about them so we can submit the broken parts to God, see them for what they are, and not let them drive so that we can then lean into the whole ones, the ones that are of God, and to let them be the ones that ultimately direct. So what do you find? What's underneath your desires for next steps? Fear, shame, anger, doubt, exhaustion, need for control, self-defense, trust. Obedience. Love, compassion. I'm going to give you a couple more minutes to think about this, to pray over this question. Whatever you're finding as you invite the Lord to search your heart, I invite you to take these things, and in a moment, we will confess, and we will take communion together. So this is the opportunity to give the broken things that you find. It's not just a matter of noticing them, but we want to take them and surrender them to Jesus, to give them to Him, give Him the broken things, and in exchange, with His body and blood, to receive love, forgiveness, and your true identity as God's own chosen children in return. That's our work tonight, family. People of God.